Hi, Steve Pomerantz here, host of On the Money with today's On the Money Extra, where we feature market updates and insights as well as guest interviews with noted financial experts to help you stay informed and learn the facts to make the right decisions about money. So let's get started. Many parents are struggling to figure out how they'll pay for rising college costs, and some are willing to dip into their retirement savings and delay retirement to do so, but many may not realize that in doing so, they may be jeopardizing their own financial security. Let's explore the subject with Sharon Epperson from CNBC. Hey, Sharon, welcome back.
Good to be on the program.
It seems that some parents are worrying more about the impact of long-term student debt on their own children than they are on their own retirement. Is this a reasonable strategy for those who are trying to apportion out their savings for the future?
Well, it certainly is reasonable for parents to be very concerned about their children having to take out student loans. And when you look at the average student loan balance, near $29,000, that's a lot of money that you don't want to have your child saddled with for many years to come. So it's understandable that parents want to do as much as they can to alleviate that burden. The problem is where they go to find the money to help their child pay for it. Mm-hmm. And tapping your 401k or your retirement savings is not the place to go.
The idea, I guess, the way I look at it and counsel clients is, you know, your children have a much longer lifespan and much more time to pay this off than you do. So it makes sense to allow them to shoulder, you know, a good deal of that debt. Do you think that fits in with what you're saying?
That absolutely fits in with what I'm saying. It makes complete sense. And we know that college costs have been rising and exponentially in some cases compared to when we were in school. But the reality is many parents worked or took out loans or went to school and then took off some time and then went back to school. They did many things to get their education. And I think that parents also have to be mindful that those are actually great lessons to teach your child, that it doesn't come easily, that you have to work hard for your education, and that in some cases you may have to take out loans, but you have to also be disciplined enough to pay those back. So I think that could be a very important financial lesson to teach your child and letting them know that everything will always be paid for just like it was until they were 10 years old. Going into their 30s is not necessarily the financial lesson that you want to leave with them.
Absolutely. You know, we look at it as a four-legged stool. One leg may be the loans that we're talking about. Another would be helping out the kids through parents working and their current income and putting some money aside for that. The third would be the children working for themselves, you know, so.
And the other one is we're all hoping for, right? Free money. Free money, please. And I think that's something that parents and their children need to start looking at very early and thinking about very early. For all of the money the parents spend on soccer, on violin lessons, ice skating, these things that we're hoping are going to make our children more well-rounded, some of them are really excelling at it. So there are opportunities perhaps for scholarships and to start looking early at what really are the criteria to get some of those scholarships is something that can be done very easily going to a website like FastWeb, which has thousands of different types of scholarships that are listed, looking at the organizations that you belong to locally and what scholarships that are given out by some of those organizations. Even some big box stores, you know, Lowe's may have a scholarship, or there may be a scholarship with another organization that you're a part of, a trade organization or some such. So it's important to start looking at those things early and having your child kind of develop a resume. It sounds kind of crazy, but it's not. You know, early in high school, maybe even junior high school, to try to think about what some of their attributes are that will make them a great candidate for a scholarship.
Oh, that's really well said. My guest is Sharon Epperson from CNBC. We're talking about striking that balance to help your kids go through college and pay those ever higher college bills. Let's look at some more steps towards getting to this balance. Number one, the first dollars that you save should go into your 401k, and we're talking about the parents, of course, or workplace retirement plan. Tell us about that.
Well, I think it's important that you do put yourself first. We always say, and I'm sure you tell your clients as well, to pay yourself first, and it's equally important when you're trying to figure out how to prioritize your savings between retirement and college. You still need to do that because, as you mentioned at the top of this interview, you know, you do not have as long to actually recover from a financial setback as your child will have. So you want to make sure that you have substantial, at least ample, savings for your retirement. And the best way to do that put it on autopilot. Make sure you're contributing at least up until your company's matching contribution, if they offer one for your 401k. And if you do not have a 401k at work, if you're not working or you're self-employed, you know, and if you qualify, a Roth IRA is a great place to go. And some of the opportunities that self-employed folks have out there to save for retirement are even better than if you're, you know, working and you get a 401k. So look into those options as well. But make sure you're putting your first dollars that you're saving into a retirement account for yourself.
You know, for a lot of people, it's really just hard to find the extra dollars to save. And this idea of paying yourself first is vitally important. Really, what's at work here is getting the habit or the discipline of putting money away on a regular basis, even if it starts at a small amount. It's really this idea of being able to accumulate wealth, and then eventually you can get it invested, and over time, that wealth can work on its own to build more wealth for you. But it's getting started. It's finding those extra dollars in order to do that. It's a hard thing for many people to do, but it is vitally important. Also, this idea that if you're saving and yet you have a lot of money on credit card debt and you're paying high interest rates doesn't make sense either.
That doesn't make any sense. You really want to pay off those credit cards and pay off any high interest debt that you have, because you know you want your investments to be making as much money as they can. But the reality is the interest rate on your credit card on average is probably about 13%. It's unlikely that you're making that kind of return in the market. So yeah, you want to make sure that while you are putting some money away for your retirement, that you're also at the same time paying off that credit card debt. That might mean that you're not putting in the maximum amount. Again, I still think it's important to do it at least until the company's matching contribution, but you may not be able to put in the maximum amount that you're eligible for into the 401k or into an IRA, but at least put in something and then also at the same time start paying down that high interest debt.
So many people are so attuned and so good at finding bargains and, you know, not paying list price, finding the best deals, but then they have to turn around and buy those things on their credit card and pay 13%. So really, what's the point of going out there and spending all your efforts to get things cheaply if you're just going to actually just paying it back to the credit card company? It doesn't make sense. So really use your credit card as a tool, not as a way for you to finance your consumption. What about an emergency fund? People have got to have emergency funds.
Well, and then the question comes, how do I? You've just told me to pay off my credit card,
yeah,
and to save for my retirement.
Right.
How am I supposed to come up with money for an emergency fund?
Right.
And there are ways that you can cut expenses. I know I remember interviewing a couple in Florida a few years ago, and they were aware that one of them was going to lose their job soon. And they were saying, but, you know, we'd still love to take you out to dinner,
mm-hmm,
and, you know, talk about whatever we were talking about at the time. And I thought, now, you know you're about to be laid off. That's the last thing we need to do, is go out to dinner. The last thing you need to do is spend money eating out. There are ways that you can cut back. That's an example where some people may say, well, we don't eat out, so where are we supposed to save? Maybe it's, you know, raising the deductible on your auto insurance or your car insurance so you have a little bit more income, cash coming in that you can put toward your emergency fund, building up your emergency fund so at least it's enough to cover the deductibles on these items. There are ways that you have to think about in terms of just the real basics. What do you really need to have money for this month? And what's kind of the extra? And let all those extras go by the wayside and put that money into savings to build up that emergency fund. That's very important.
I'm speaking with Sharon Epperson from CNBC. To hear this interview again and to join our conversation, you can do so at onthemoneyradio.org. You know, there are still a lot of people out there that smoke, and cigarettes are really expensive, $6 a pack. I mean, I think it's $10 a pack in New York or something like that. I mean, that adds up. That's a tremendous amount of money that adds up. So I realize how difficult it is to quit. I used to be a smoker many, many years ago. It's hard, but you know, you can get over it, and it can really put a lot of dollars in your pocket.
Mm-hmm. Whatever that big expense is. I mean, a lot of folks now too, if you have tweens or teens like I do, they don't watch television that much. So why do I need a full-on cable internet plan if most of the watching is on a device, whether it's their iPad or my phone or something else? So there are ways to think about, you know, that's another more expensive mobile plan perhaps than you've had before, but in place of maybe a cable TV plan that you don't really need. There are just different ways to really think about how you are using what you're spending your money on. You know, do you really need to be spending the money that particular way? And your idea of going and finding bargains, I know a lot of people are great at that. And even if you're not someone who goes through and counts coupons and does things like that, sites like RetailMeNot, shopping for groceries online, so you look at the unit price and you're looking for what's cheapest based on the unit price, not even necessarily the sales that are there. Yeah, you pay for a delivery if you're in a big city and you have this opportunity to have groceries delivery. You might have a delivery fee, but the overall savings, if you're able to kind of look at all of the offerings you have in terms of groceries and pick the ones that really are kind of the cheapest that fit what you need for that week, I found that a great way to save on groceries, which are a necessity, but maybe doesn't need to be as expensive as what I've spent in the past.
Yeah. You know, it's not easy, but it's just a well thought through life. It's like pull your financial self together, start thinking broadly about these things instead of just operating on momentum or inertia and just doing things because it's the way you've always done them. And there's one quote that I like that you wrote, remember, you and your child can always borrow for college, but you can't borrow for retirement. So take care of yourself first. Sharon Epperson from CNBC, as always, very informative. And I thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You're listening to On the Money with certified financial planner Steve Pomerantz. If you'd like information about guests, topics, or anything you hear on this program, call 866-MONEY01 or visit the show's website at onthemoneyradio.org.